Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet of the day by Bet Rivers. Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz giving you their best picks each week across the NFL. Bet of the day is brought to you by Bet Rivers.
Now, guys, we're just doing this to have some fun, okay? Okay.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Yeah, that's actually the cop-out disclaimer. We're hoping to help you make some money, but we don't want to take the risk. You know, we don't want to feel bad if you lose. So,
CYA.
I'll tell you what, guys. You want to make some money, you better listen to Olin Krutz, because number 57 has been hot these first couple of weeks. Patrick also had a really nice week last week. I was undefeated week one and winless last week. That's about the way it usually goes for me. So we've got 2 weeks in the books, guys. And right now, Olin Krutz off a 3-0 week is 5-1. We're giving you three games a week. He's also 2-0 picking the Chicago Bears. Patrick was 2-1 last week, so a good week for Pat. He's at 3-3 on the season, 2-0 picking the Bears. I am 2-0 picking the Bears. We'll get those picks for you in a little while as well. But after a 3-0 week one, I had an 0-3 week two. We actually got middled on that Steeler-Broncos game. I had taken Pittsburgh when it was 4.5 when I did the TV show on Thursday. By Sunday, it was 6.5, and Olin took Denver. And, of course, it was a 5-point game. So Olin gets the win there. I get the loss. But, Olin, you are our leader, and you are the one who's hot. So why don't you start us off?
All right. I'm going to go my first game. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I'm going to give the 6 over the Raiders. I just think the Raiders are on a short week. Really like the way Cam Newton looks playing under Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. So I just like the Patriots in that matchup. My second pick, I'm going to go with the Steelers. I'm going to lay the 4 to beat the Texans. The Steelers are, I don't think they have anybody on their injury report. They get their right guard, DeCastro, back. I think their defense is going to be a little too much for the Texans and get us a few turnovers, and they'll win that game by more than 4. And then I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are at the Broncos. I'm going to lay the 6. The Broncos just have way too many injuries, I think, to overcome this week.
All right, so Olin is riding the favorites this week. New England -6, Pittsburgh -4, Tampa Bay -6. Six. Patrick, what do you got for us?
Well, Olin, I know we didn't talk before this, but we picked 2 of the 3 games. So I'm going to start with the Texans and Steelers, and I'm with you on the Steelers. I was looking up some stats on them. I guess the Texans have given up 8 sacks in just 68 passing attempts, and the Steelers blitz 61.7% of the time, and they have 10 sacks in the season. And Olin, you and I watched their first game of the season. That defense is strong, and I think it's all about those stats. I just don't think the Texans can handle the Steelers. They're too good, and especially with the pressure they're going to put on Watson. So I've got the Steelers, giving up 4. And then the other game here, I'm going to go again with the Bucks in Denver, and you nailed it, man. That injury report, it's nasty. It kind of looks like the Falcons. You got no Devontae Harris, starting quarterback, Drew Lock, Philip Lindsay, Cortland Sutton, another cornerback, A.J. Boye, and obviously Von Miller's been out for a while. But I just see Tom Brady keep it rolling against the Denver team, and Vic Fangio just doesn't have enough guys over there to hold up on that. So that's the Bucs will be giving up 5.5, and I still think they'll cover that. And then finally, I have the Cards over the Lions. I think the Lions have won every week with, and they still don't have Trufant back. Okuda struggled last week against the Packers. Kyler Murray now has DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald, obviously. DeAndre Hopkins leading the league with 22 catches. I just think they're too good on that side to on that side of the ball. And they're going to the Cards are giving up 5.5 to the Lions. I just think they'll be able to overcome that and take an easy one over the Lions.
All righty, guys. So we've got Patrick with Pittsburgh -4, Tampa Bay -6, Arizona -5.5. Pat is also riding the favorites. I'm going to go in a little different direction. And guys, what I do here, and I think this is reasonable. You know, we do the Pro Football Weekly show on NBC Sports Chicago every week, and we pick our top three there and give a best bet. So I feel kind of funny changing games. So I'm doing the same thing I'm doing on TV. I will in future weeks kind of look here and see if there's other games I like. I don't think there's anything wrong with going away from them. But for now, I'm going to do the same thing I did on television. I don't see the Minnesota Vikings going 0-3. Maybe I just haven't accepted that they're not a very good team anymore, but I don't know how you lose it that quickly. Tennessee is a good team, but they're on the road in Minnesota, kind of in the same spot as the Falcons. So I'm going to take a chance on them one more time and say it's Minnesota getting 2.5 points at home, and that's part of it. I just don't know how the Vikings can get points at home. I am with Patrick. I think Arizona over the Lions is kind of an easy pick. Arizona is hot right now. Yes, actually they upset the 49ers week one, but then they get Washington and Detroit back-to-back. But I didn't see anything from the Detroit defense to suggest they've got an answer for Kyler Murray, so I'm also taking Arizona -5.5. And then the one, you know, guys, the Baltimore Ravens are a great football team. They may be the best team in the NFL. They're one of the two best teams in the NFL, and I know they're back at home. But if I can get the Kansas City Chiefs getting points, I'm going to do that every week. The Chiefs are getting 3.5 points at Baltimore, and I just think, and by the way, the Ravens, I should say Lamar Jackson, I believe as a starter, has lost 3 games in his career. 2 of them are to the Chiefs, and so they obviously have an idea of what to do here. I'm going to take Kansas City +3.5. Any chance, as I say, I can get with the Chiefs getting points, I got to jump on that. So there it is. One more time. Olin is hot. He's 5-1. He says New England -6, Pittsburgh -4, Tampa Bay -6. Patrick and I are both 3-3, but Pat was 2-1 last week. He's also got Pittsburgh -4 and Tampa Bay -6. So probably want to circle those two games from Pat and Olin. Arizona -5.5. I've got the Vikings getting 2.5, the Chiefs getting 3.5. And like Pat, I like Arizona -5.5. Guys, let's get back to this injury list for just a few minutes. I think the fact that Julio Jones cannot go for the Falcons today, Olin, what does that do to the Bears defense? I think the temptation was obviously to have Kyle Fuller shadow Julio Jones wherever he went. Jones, a future Hall of Famer. Kyle Fuller, one of the best corners in football right now. The Bears and Chuck Pagano, nor with Vic Fangio, they don't do that as much as other teams do. They have not really used Kyle or their corners to shadow receivers. They let them stay on their chosen side of the field. But now with Jones down and with the rookie Jalen Johnson down there, do you slap Fuller on Calvin Ridley, or do you just let them play their sides of the field and trust the rookie to go ahead and do what he's got to do?
I think they trust the rookie. I think that's what Pagano them usually do anyway. I think they play right and left. Jalen right. Plays on the right side of the defense. So I think what it does is it gives the safety, one of their safeties, their eyes back. And by that I mean when Julio Jones is on the field, you always have to know where he is. And the safeties have to help either over the top or help whatever DB he lines up on. So it takes that off, and you can give a little more help to Ridley, who's playing really, really well, and maybe even better than Julio Jones in this year and in the last year. So more help to Ridley takes one of the Falcons' weapons away. And it's a huge deal, really, because, like I said, now the Bears have one less weapon out there to worry about for the Atlanta Falcons.
Olin, I'm with you.
Go ahead first.
Well, I just want to follow that up because you mentioned earlier in the show about the struggling, the defense struggling up the middle, whether it's on the front line or in the backside in the back with the linebackers. But Hayden Hurst, their tight end. Now you mentioned, the safety gets some eyes back. He can put his eyes on Hayden Hurst and maybe help out that. I don't know if you want to. Well, I guess I would call it a mismatch if it's on Danny Trevathan right now, but could help out with that matchup as well. So that it's a big deal to me because it just makes those safeties a lot more comfortable. It might shrink the field a little bit for them where they can, like Olin, you said it perfectly, put their eyes where they need to go. So I think that's going to help the Bears a lot in that regard.
You know, Pat, all I was going to go for there was you had mentioned earlier in the show how well Calvin Ridley is playing it. And we should point out to our listeners who may have forgotten or maybe weren't aware of this, Calvin Ridley coming out of Bama was every bit as good a prospect, or at least close to as good a prospect as Julio Jones was coming out of Alabama. Remember when Julio came out, the Falcons, I think, they were back in the low 20s. They traded four picks to come up to number four to get Julio Jones. Now, Ridley, they were able to get with their own first-round pick, and I think it was about the middle of the first round. But it's not like Calvin Ridley is a surprise. I mean, he started a little slower because his rookie year was arguably Julio Jones' best year in the NFL. But he has now emerged as pretty much what you expected him to be. This is he doesn't have elite speed, but everything else about it, the comp may be DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I'm not comparing anybody to DeAndre Hopkins right now, but style-wise, Ridley is that kind of player.
Yeah, just the way he looks running his routes and just how confused these DBs look, you know, setting up where he's going to stem his route or, you know, however he's going to do it. These guys just look confused, and it's making it a real easy target for Matt Ryan, where guys are open by 2 to 3 to 4 yards. In the NFL, that's an entire ocean. You know, that's huge. So he just looks like, I don't know if you say the light bulb went on, because you say he's a good player before, but he's just taking his game to that next level where he is just really, you know, a student of the route, a student of coverages, a student of all that stuff, and just playing really, really well.
Yeah, and, you know, Tayshaun Gibson, the Bears safety, said he's never seen somebody get in and out of routes mm-hmm. the way it really does. And that's a pretty big compliment. But, you know, like we talked about going back to Julio Jones, it just now you can give all your help towards Ridley. Hayden Hurst could be a problem for the Bears. I mean, at the end of the Giants game last week, Evan Engram had a 22-yard catch against Deion Bush. And then, you know, Hockenson had a pretty big game for the Lions. So, obviously, you're worried about the tight end. You're worried about the middle of the field. But with all these injuries, the Bears have a really big advantage going into this game.
You know, Olin, I wanted to ask you, because I meant to go back and check, and I kept forgetting. But, you know, when Deion Bush had that pick last week against the Giants, I'm not sure if they were in the dime or if he was actually giving Tayshaun Gibson a blow. And I'm wondering, have you focused on Gibson at all? I mean, this is it's kind of the Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix story, another really good safety mm-hmm. who the last year or two hadn't played his best football. How has he looked back there to you?
I think he's been a great compliment to Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson, again, is playing at an all-pro level when you turn that film on. They got him even playing in the box a lot. He's tackling well. He looks physical and healthy this year. And I think a lot of that is that they've matched him up with Tayshaun Gibson, who also covers tight ends well, fills the box well, and is always seems to be where he's supposed to be. So I think that was a really good pickup for them. I think he matches Eddie Jackson's style a little better than Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix, where Ha-Ha was kind of not almost like a poor man's Eddie Jackson. Tayshaun Gibson kind of counters Eddie with everything he's good at. He just adds to the game. So really a good pickup for the Bears defense there. I think on that interception, they were just in their nickel would be dime now, but with, you know, Bush taking Trevathan out.
Patrick, you know, we look at this, and special teams, I think, have not been an issue so far for the Bears. I think the special teams have played really well for the most part. Obviously, the Falcons special teams had a bit of a problem last week. You know, sometimes you go into a matchup like this, and it can be the difference. And I mean, I'm a Chris Tabor fan in part because Tabes is such a good guy. But beyond that, he's got lots of weapons, and he seems to be doing a nice job. And we don't talk a lot about the Bears special teams. You know, Tariq Cohen has not done much in the punt return game yet. You know, you're waiting for it to happen. Cordarrelle Patterson's the scariest guy on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, for all the focus on the offense and the defense, I think the special teams the first couple of weeks have been pretty good, and the Bears probably have a pretty clear edge here going into this game.
I agree, and they've just been very solid. And one thing that I do like is letting Cordarrelle Patterson be aggressive and taking it out, where most of these teams aren't going to do it. I think that's the smart move. I think one of these weeks you're going to see him hit the big one. It could change the game or change, you know, kind of the momentum in a game. Tariq Cohen will get it going. I mean, there's just been some times now what happens is the punters just punt it. It's like a little formula. You put distance to hang time, and they just hang it so high that, you know, the guys get down there in coverage. You really can't do much with it. But one thing I did notice on tape, the Atlanta Falcons, for all the gaffes they had on the onside kick return, they're very aggressive in the punt return game. So just be on the lookout for pressure on Pat O'Donnell. Let's hope they're solid up front and we don't get anything blocked. They put a big guy up front, number 91, I think it is, that'll run over or try to run over Pat Scales, the snapper. And they put a lot of pressure up the middle, which can get a punter a little nervous, possibly shank one or, you know, just not hit it like you want to. So just be on the lookout for that on fourth downs for the Bears, that there could be possibly some, you know, some pressure coming up front. Let's just hope they block up and don't give up a blocked punt.
Oh, and I know we got to let you run to get ready for TV. I got two questions for you before you go, though. First, I got to talk to Cairo Santos on Friday, asked him about the 50-yard field goal. And you know, like any good player, he's going to say, I got to hit that. There's no conversation about it. But I was curious as to what was going on the sidelines before that, knowing that 1 week earlier, one of the main contributors to the Bears' comeback win was Matt Patricia sending Prater out for the 55-yarder. He misses it. You get the ball at the 45. And I asked Santos, you know, is that in your head? Are you wondering if you're going to get to make this, to try this kick or not? And what was the conversation, the communication? And he did. He acknowledged, yes. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm not sure what they're going to do in that regard. And no, there was no conversation. We just got to fourth down and they sent me out. I'm curious what your thoughts were. I didn't get to talk to you after the game last week about them trying that kick. I was pretty adamant. I would not have tried it. I would have tried to pin the Giants down deep, which the Lions did not do against the Bears. What did you think of that whole sequence?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's easy for me to sit here now and say they shouldn't have tried to kick after he missed it. But Pat can speak to this better than I can. They go into the game with a yardage, I think, Pat, right?
Yep.
That
yes,
they
100%.
Know. Yep. So Cairo Santos knows they're going for it from 50 because they should have, and I know Tabor did, knowing the kind of coach that special teams coach Chris Tabor is, that they did talk about it, that was his distance. They would go from it from 50 yards that day with the weather and the wind. And, you know, we got a guy, I feel stupid talking about this because we got a guy on here who can talk about it way better than I can. So I'm not, you know, at the time when he ran out there, to be honest, I thought it wasn't a bad idea just because I thought that was his distance. I thought that he could make that from that distance.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm with you, man. That's you get paid in the league now to make 50-yarders. You know, the kickers have changed. They've gotten so much better. Their legs have gotten so much stronger. We saw what Butker did for the Kansas City Chiefs, hitting 3-plus 50-yarders when they kept, you know, jumping off sides and calling timeout. But that's what you get paid to do. The only thing I would say about that situation is about the situation. He doesn't know if they're going to punt and try to back them up and give them a long field or kick it. But being on the sidelines with Robbie and Jeff Jaeger and all those other guys, they are mentally ready to go. If they're not, they're idiots. So I just seen the good ones I've seen, they sit on the sideline not knowing situationally whether they're going to kick it or not, but we are prepared to go. You know what I mean? That's the way it should be.
Well, and yeah, to be clear, that was Santos's answer to me. I mean, he said, yeah, you think about are we going to or not, but I'm assuming we're going to. He said, I got to go out there and make that kick. He certainly didn't try and offer it as any excuse. And, you know, for whatever it's worth, guys, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, but I actually tweeted on third down, don't try this field goal, only because of what had happened the week before. It's not that I'm doubting Santos. Mm-hmm. What bothered me was after the game, in postgame, Matt says, yeah, well, it made it 7 points, so you never thought about it. I'm sorry, I disagree. If it makes it a two-score game, you know, then maybe you don't think about it. But you weren't putting the game away with the kick. My question was, are you helping your defense more by making them play on a longer field? Again, you know, it's history now. They won the football game, Pat.
I mean, especially with that defense, Hub, your point is a really good point, because when you have a defense as good as the Bears, although the Giants did go 95 yards, I think, you got to put it in your defense. So you make a great point.
Let me real quick before we go to a break. What bothered me more than that was the series before, where Bobby Massey had that great completion off that great route, I think you called it on the radio. It was third and one. If they know they had two plays to go for the first down, why are you throwing twice? Run it twice. You could run, either have them, I don't know what their timeout situation was, you can have them burn timeouts, or you can run 80 seconds off the clock. And if you don't get it, then that 80 seconds is gone or a timeout's gone. Then you punt it there and they still got a shorter field. And that's to me was a mistake that they made coaching wise.
All right, Olin, before we let you run, we got to get your pick. What do you think happens in Atlanta today?
Yeah, I think with all the injuries, Hub, I think the Bears win this game. I'm going right around 24-21. I think the offense hopefully will continue to run the ball and stick to their strengths like Coach Nagy was talking about and Mitch Trubisky was talking about. They feel like they have an identity now, and hopefully they stick to that. And I think that with all the Falcons injuries, they're the stronger team today.
All right, guys, this is it's kind of disappointing for Patrick and I, but hopefully there's some good news that comes with it. Because of Cubs-White Sox baseball today, there will be no post-game show with Patrick and myself. But immediately following Cubs post-game, you will get our post-post show with Big Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz. They will be with you from the end of the Cubs post-game show until Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. Yeah, Monday Night, well, that would be a story. Sunday Night Football right here at 670, The Score, and it is a good one. The Green Bay Packers going to New Orleans to take on the Saints. And tomorrow morning, Dan Bernstein will be off for the holiday, so your, what do we call that show? It's not late morning, it's not midday, it's the 9 to 12 show. It will be Olin Kreutz and me hosting the show. We're going to be together tomorrow morning. Hopefully it will be a Bears victory Monday, and we will have the normal 10 o'clock hour on Bernsey's show with Patrick Manley. So we'll be back for the three of us reliving whatever happens today and taking your calls on it from 9 to 12 tomorrow morning. For now, we will let Olin Kreutz run. You'll hear Olin with Anthony Heron later today after the Bears-Falcons game. You'll hear Patrick Manley and I in just a moment right here with more of the Bet River Sportsbook pregame show on The Score. We're back in 60.
Yeah, just, you know, just getting used to that stadium. We've gotten a chance to go down there. And sometimes you can get too focused on the line, like where I'm trying to play it. And that's what I try to do. I didn't, with the wind going to the right, I didn't want to lose it that way. I think that would be a bad miss. And I try to just hold it left and then kind of struck it, you know, almost too good to hold that line. So unfortunately, I missed it. So I'm just trying to get more comfortable and sometimes you don't want to, you don't need to play as more than what you think, you know, you need to play. So, well, it's on me, and then I'll get better at that stadium.
Chicago Bears place kicker Cairo Santos talking about his lone miss in his second stint as a Chicago Bear. It was the 50-yarder last week that gave the New York Giants the ball back with a few minutes to play and a chance to come back and win or tie the game. Fortunately, the Bears held on. We're 17-13 winners. You know, Pat, from the minute it left his foot, he kicked it straight. It just was straight left, you know, about a foot or two wide of the upright.
Yeah, and one thing I learned from Robbie, who, you know, I've kicked or worked with for a long, long time, who I have a lot of respect for, who works hard at his craft, not just physically and all that, but just breaking down the game. And one thing he always talked about is, if you saw Cairo's kick, it started outside of the left goalpost. And Robbie was a believer, unless it was just a day where we had ungodly wind here in Chicago, he would never start a kick outside the goalpost. Because if you hit it well, like Cairo said he hit it well, it can potentially stay on that line and move just a little bit with that wind. So, you know, maybe that's something he can learn from going on going forward is never kind of aim outside of those goalposts unless you play in a game. Remember that game against the 49ers where Robbie kicked one in the end of the stands, but you just never want to kick it outside of the goalpost. You want to play from upright to upright. The ball, if you hit a good one, should never move. You know, if you're aiming left, should never move past that right upright and should always go between there. And that's just one thing about Soldier Field. It's just very, very difficult to kick. The more kicks you can get down there, the better. It's just not that perfect circular or oblong stadium. There's got a lot of crevices and cracks and whatever you want to call it in there that cause the wind to blow just a little different, and they blow differently in the north and south. We've talked a lot about this on the after the Cody Parkey kick, but yeah, just never kick it outside of the uprights. Put it on the upright if you feel it's windy, and it should. If you hit a good ball, it should go in.
Pat, we're gonna break a little early here so we have a little more time with our buddy Dan Pompey, who'll be joining us next. But before we do, get Nolan's pick just before he left. He says it's the Bears 24-21, and he did reference the injuries. That worries me because, yes, I've been watching that injury list all week long. Again, you never want to see a player hurt, but if he is, not having to face Julio Jones is a big, big win for the Bears. But I cannot count the times that I've had a pick or what I thought was going to happen, And then I adjusted because of the injuries. And then we find out the injuries make no difference whatsoever because it's 53 versus 53. And I would hate like hell to think that there's anybody in that Bears locker room right now who's relaxing a little bit just because Julio Jones isn't going to be out there. This Falcons offense has still been loaded all season long.
Hub, no doubt. And the one name we barely talked about is Matt Ryan. I mean, he's playing unbelievable. What he has 723 yards passing and 6 TDs, both second in the NFL. I think he's only been sacked 3 times. He's playing really, really well. He's tough to get to. He's kind of like the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady style, where once you get there, he's either falling down or he's burning the ball on the ground. So I think it's going to be tough to get pressure on him. I'm sorry, it'll be okay. You'll be able to get pressure on him, but it'll be tough to get him down. But I think Julio's been banged up for for the past game and a half, and Calvin Ridley's really stepped up and just having a hell of a year. But you know, I think Matt Ryan's the key to this.
Well, and you know, Pat, Matt Ryan's one of those guys who just lives under the radar. He's a 9 or 10 mm-hmm. year vet right now. And he is on pace to end up holding every major passing record. I mean, the numbers that this guy has put up quietly in Atlanta are phenomenal. And if there is a player with a crack at the Brady Breeze records for passing yardage and touchdowns, it's probably Matt Ryan. And he is, it's only 2 weeks, but he is off to the best start of his career.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, I think, you called him under the radar. Let me see. He started in 2008. Mm-hmm. So he's been playing that long, not 8 or 9 years. And I was the same thing when I first started. I just pulled it up. Sorry, I cheated on you here on the computer. But you're right. He's under the radar. You don't realize what he's doing. And I think he's 7th all-time on the NFL passing list. You know, the game has changed now with the rules and everything for quarterbacks. And there's a lot of the current guys are on there now. But, I mean, Matt Ryan, he's underrated. I think it's, you know, us living down or up here in Chicago and not knowing that much about the Falcons or following the Falcons, he is under the radar.
You just freaked me out, man. I am getting way too old.
I did the same thing.
I can't believe
Hub.
He's in his 13th season.
I know. I can't either. 2008, I was like, oh, my God. And I thought he was 7, 8, or 9 years. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, and just heard it. I had him a couple years longer than that. Guys, this is a real test for the Chicago Bears today. We've been wondering through the first 2 weeks of the season, is this a good team with a chance to be really good? Is this a bad team that's gotten lucky? Are they somewhere in the middle, the 8-8 guys we saw last year? We're going to know a lot more in about 3 hours. We're going to know a lot more in about 3 or 4 minutes because we'll bring in Danny Pompei. Dan, of course, covers the Bears and the NFL for The Athletic. He is a regular with us here every week on the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show. And we are going to take this quick break and then visit with Dan Pompei in just a moment. So stay right where you are at 670 on your radio dial.
Yeah, Jeff, I don't think we take it for granted no matter how they come. But I think, you know, what we like about the 2-0 start is our team's hungry. We know we can be better in all three phases. And, you know, there's things we need to get cleaned up. And, you know, Coach Nagy's on top of that and just locked in, getting our guys better.
Ryan Pace visiting with Jeff Joniak on the pregame show on WDBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. They, of course, our sister station. You can hear the live broadcast of the Bears-Falcons game right over there. You don't want to head over until we wrap your pregame right here at 670 The Score. That's your Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store right now. Unfortunately for Pat and I, we will not have our ProSwap postgame show today. Postgame show brought to you by ProSwap as well as PNC Bank and MailMed Chicago. That's because the Cubs and the White Sox will be playing the last game of the regular season as they get ready for the playoffs. We will have the post-post show, however, with Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz after Cubs post game today. That'll take you right up to Sunday Night Football. And then tomorrow morning after Mully and Haw from 5 to 9, it will be Olin Kreutz and me, I'm Hub Arker, sitting in for Dan Bernstein from 9 to 12. We're hoping it will be a Bears victory Monday. And in his regular spot at 10 o'clock, we'll visit with Pat Manley. So we'll have a different version of our post-game show tomorrow morning, sitting in for Dan Bernstein. Right now, we welcome in our fourth amigo, if you will. It is Dan Pompei. Danny joins us every week on the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show. And Dan, good to have you alongside as well. This feels like a really big one for the Chicago Bears. We know it's huge for the Atlanta Falcons. They're 0-2. They can't afford to go 0-3. They're going to be desperate in a must-win situation. But for the Bears, the people scratching their heads, is this a good team that could be really good if they start to play good against good teams, or is this a bad team that has been somewhat fortunate to beat a couple other bad teams? I'm curious where you're at on that spectrum right now.
I'm not sure where I'm at on that spectrum. On the one hand, you know, I think the Bears are a team that have really shown a lot of promise in terms of some of the things they've done well and the potential they have to do those things even better in the future. But on the other hand, you know, they really have played two teams that I think they should have beaten more easily than they did, down to the last play of the game, basically, and you know, we're fortunate to get out of both places with a win. So, you know, I guess we should not diminish the victories, because they're hard to come by in the NFL. But I think there are some holes you see there in the Bears that they need to get better at. I mean, on the plus side, though, I think, you know, what you've seen out of the offensive line and the running game really has been encouraging. And the defense, as much as a lot of us, including me, have kind of taken some shots at it, you know, they're still third in the league in fewest points allowed, tied for third in the league. I mean, that's outstanding. So, and you know, defense is judged basically on a bottom line. So I think where you'd like to see more big plays, more takeaways, sacks, that kind of thing, you know, they've done enough to get the job done.
All right, Dan, so you just talked about, kind of give us your sum of the Bears. Let's just fast forward. Say the final is Bears win 17-13. Let's say 14-10. How disappointed will you be in this offense with all the injuries the Falcons have on defense and all the yards they've given up to the other two teams they played this year?
Well, I think it's going to be a game where some points are scored. I think there's going to be points scored on both sides. You know, I'll be surprised if that scenario plays out. But, you know, you never really know what you're going to get with Mitch, right? I mean, that's the X factor, because if he plays like he did, you know, in the third and fourth quarter last week, or in the first and second quarter of the first game, you know, they can easily struggle to get two touchdowns. You know, fortunately for them so far, he's had at least a half a good game in both games. So we'll see what happens with that today. You know, it'll be interesting to see, too, how Matt Nagy decides to attack this Falcons defense. You know, I think the temptation is probably going to be there for him to try to throw the ball a little bit more with their banged-up secondary. They're missing one of their primary pass rushers in Tack McKinley. So, you know, he might be saying, well, maybe this is a game where we do a little something different from what we've done the first two games. But then again, you know, that formula that they've used has been successful for them, and I think it's helped them in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I was going to follow up with that, with the formula there. I still think you can throw the ball more, but still use the run to set up the pass. You know what I mean? Like, they've been doing it and try to take advantage of those DBs and all the injuries they have back there, but make sure you stick with that run. But, you know, you're going to possibly get bigger chunk plays with the injuries and maybe some confusion back there, maybe some second-tier guys playing man-to-man, and we know what Allen Robinson can do to guys on man-to-man. So I hope they stick with the same game plan. I really do, and I think they can exploit him and hit some big plays, because a lot of other teams have.
Yeah, I think that would be the smart thing to do, you know, not become one-dimensional, make the Falcons defend both disciplines and continue to have that run game as a big part of your identity. And, you know, I think it's great for the offensive linemen too. I think that's probably part of the reason they're pass blocking better, because, you know, they're enjoying getting out there and getting after people in the run game and hitting people. And, that's a part of the mentality, I think. And, I think it would be a mistake to go all pass against this team. You know, I think it could be a big game too for Jimmy Graham and maybe Cole Kmet for the tight ends, because I wonder how they're going to be able to defend them. You know, if you put a lot of your eggs in the Allen Robinson basket, you know, especially with Ricardo Allen out, I think this could be a game where the Bears could capitalize on some tight end matchups.
Yeah, you know, guys, I mean, obviously you want to use your offense to its fullest potential. You want to put points on the board. You want to take advantage of the Atlanta defense weaknesses. But you also want to keep that Atlanta offense on the sidelines as much as possible. And so, yeah, I'd like to see the Bears break out more through the air. But the way that run game has been working, you know, shortening the game and taking time off the clock with it isn't a bad way to go. I'm curious, Dan, for your take. I wrote a piece, I don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, it was at ShawLocal.com, where I dug into some numbers, and I've maintained in Matt Nagy's first 2 years that it wasn't really that he didn't want to run the football. They didn't have a run scheme that blended well with all of his exotic pass stuff. Now, what they've done this year is they've committed so much to the 12 and 13 personnel, and Matt's talked about how well the tight ends are blocking in the run game and how proud of him he is. But the problem is that takes some of your receivers off the field. It takes the passing game out of the rhythm. And I just wonder how much of this is Nagy finally getting his arms around his complete offensive package, and if the commitment to the run hasn't hurt the passing game a little bit.
Well, you know, it's possible. I think Trubisky's inconsistency probably has hurt the passing game a little bit, too. Certainly there were a lot of yards left on the table. And really what some of the receivers have done have hurt the passing game a little bit, too, in terms of drop passes and miscommunications and that sort of thing. So, again, that's an area where there clearly is room for improvement. But I think the offense, to me, is trending in the right direction if you continue to build on the run game and, you know, work the pass game off the run game, as Pat indicated earlier with the play action, and, do things, I think, in a more traditional way than they've done them the last couple of years. The other thing, too, is, you know, it helps it if you could stay in the game, you know, when you're in the second half and you're not chasing, 14, 17, 20 points or whatever. And then you can kind of keep running the ball more and not worry about getting in frantic catch-up mode. So, there's so many advantages, I think, to having some balance in your approach that it just makes all the sense. And, what's interesting, I mean, they've run the ball. I looked up the numbers earlier this week. I want to say they've run the ball 41% of the time. And last year, they ran it 39% of the time. So it's not a huge difference overall, but I think it's when they're running the ball. And, clearly the commitment is different this year. I think they're doing it more in the first half. When you come out, this is our game plan. This is what we're going to establish. This is what we're going to make you defend. And this is how the game is going to be.
Yeah, guys, and the big difference, obviously, is that they're averaging 4.7 a run and not 3.5. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure part of that's because it's being blocked up so much better. Unfortunately, guys, we've only got about a minute or two left, and we do want to get our picks for everybody. We are all 2-0 picking the Bears so far. Dan, what do you think happens in Atlanta today?
Well, we've all been talking like we're bullish on the Bears. Now I'm going to go out and make a pick that's the other way. Even though the Falcons are without five starters, I mean, it sure is tempting to say, how are they going to do this? But, this is by far, I think, maybe not by far, but it's the best quarterback and the best passing game the Bears have faced so far, even without Julio Jones and without Caleb McGarry. And it's going to be a challenge for the Bears defense. And I think, if you look at the teams that the Falcons gave up all their points to and they had their losses to, well, they were quarterbacked by two of the probably top, five, six quarterbacks in the game, Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. So this time, Mitch Trubisky is a step down for them. So I'm going to take the Falcons to win 30-26. They're a desperate team, and I think they're going to come out, and the Bears are going to get their very best effort from the Falcons.
Patrick, what do you think?
All right, I'm going to go against you there, Dan. I'll give you the score right now, and I've got something in my bigger, bolder pick at the end of this. The Bears are going to win 28-26. You got a bad O scoring-wise for the Bears versus a bad D of the Falcons. You got a good O of the Falcons versus a good D of the Bears. So it's going to be a close game, but I do have the Bears winning 28-26. But the last two quarterbacks that have faced the Atlanta Falcons defense have been the NFC Offensive Player of the Week Mitch Trubisky is going to be the third one in a row.
Oh, there you go. There's a bold prediction for you. Guys, I would love to pick with my heart, but I'm kind of with Dan on this one. I mean, all week long, and I still think the Bears can be a really good football team. I just think this is a bad spot, and I think we overrate the injuries sometime. I had it Atlanta 29, Bears 27 all week long, and I'm going to stay with it and not go with my heart. I sure hope I'm wrong. Guys, we are out of time. Dan, you have a great week. Patrick, I will visit with you tomorrow morning as we fill in for Dan Bernstein. We want to give our thanks to Brian Finneran, Atlanta Radio, former Atlanta Falcon, for joining us early in the show. Bob Wiley was here in the Where Are They Now. Mark Grody from the field every week. Dan Pompey just joined us. Studs behind the glass, Adam Studzinski, a great job producing for us. As always, our thanks to all of you so much for listening. Remember, no post game, but we'll have post. So immediately following Cubs post game, you got Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz tomorrow morning. Olin and I sitting in for Dan Bernstein from 9 to 12. Patrick will join us as well. Right now, go enjoy the football game, guys, everybody, and go Bears.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.